Welcome into MusketeerReport.com. Rick, alongside Dan here, we're doing something new. For those of you who have been around the site for at least, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, you may remember during the Big East tournament, we did some instant reaction podcasts immediately following the games during the Big East tournament, although one of those kind of got ate up by the internet or the computer or something, so it didn't make it. But anyway, we're going to try that this whole year. We're not guaranteeing that we'll do it after every game, but we will certainly try to do it. Obviously, road games will be easier. Right after watching them on TV, we'll just log on and do these things as long as our schedules permit. And for as many big home games as we can, we'll do the same thing. So with that being said, Xavier beat Long Beach State 97-74 tonight. Pretty entertaining game. Again, this team just continues to put up points. I guess we'll start here, Dan. Just give me your initial thoughts on the takeaway from this game. One or two things that jump out to you right away.
Well, the first thing I want to say is this is the only podcast on the internet where you get to hear me read my Rex Burkhead fanfic. So a little bit later, I'll be reading an original story about Rex Burkhead, Brian Leonard, and I going to the zoo. But in terms of tonight's game, this is a very entertaining game, bottom line. And it really showcased something that we've been talking about this Xavier team since prior to the Brazil trip, and really, Rick, since they signed up this incoming recruiting class, which was just talking about the amount of offensive talent that Xavier had coming into the program. When we talked during the last podcast with Snow, we talked about the improved three-point shooting and the improved jump shooting we were going to see from this team. And the three guys that we specifically cited were Trayvon Blewett, J.P. McCura, both freshmen, and then a rejuvenated and theoretically healthy Miles Davis, who was hampered last year by a knee injury. And tonight, let's see, J.P. McCura, 17 points. Miles Davis, 15 points. Trayvon Blewett, 20. So I was told there would be no math, but that seems to add up to about 52 points of the 97 for Xavier. I don't think there's any secret that it was those guys that drove the offense tonight. It was a battle of backcourts today. I mean, Matt Stainbrook did do some good work inside. I think James Farr got a couple good possessions, although he missed some bunnies, as Chris noted in his post-game press conference. But this was really about backcourt and wing play tonight. Played at a pretty fast pace against a Long Beach team that was pretty impressive in terms of their backcourt production. And I have to say, this is one of the most impressive offensive performances from a Xavier team in the last 3 years. I know that the 13 three-point goals made, courtesy Shannon Russell, was the most since Xavier beat Fairleigh Dickinson on the opening day of the season 2 years ago, and that was really basically a Division III team. So this was a level of offensive production we have not seen in a long time from this team, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, well, and they shot 31 threes, and I remember talking, I don't know if it was on the podcast or if this was something I was talking about at practice at one point or what, but we were kind of joking about this team and just talking about all the offensive weapons that they have. I was saying, literally, I think there will be nights where this team will be like watching the Golden State Warriors, where I could seriously see them jacking up 35 threes, and whoever I was talking about with was like, I don't think Chris is going to be okay with that. Well, tonight they shot 31, and I wouldn't even say they needed to shoot less. In fact, I thought most of them were really good looks. You look at Trayvon Blewett shot 6, Miles Davis shot 6, and J.P. McCura shot 7 from three-point range.
And Remy had 6 also, right. And I'm fine with that. So
I was going to say those other three guys I'm perfectly fine with shooting at least 6 or 7 threes every game. The one I would say is maybe Remy could reel it back in a little bit, especially because Remy can knock down threes, but Remy has a love affair right now with the quick transition three especially, and that's not necessarily the best shot for him. I mean, in transition, he is a monster. He is impossible to keep from going to the rim. He's a ball of energy and athleticism, and he's great at getting and ones, as we saw in the second half. So I'd like to see him maybe be a little more aggressive, especially earlier in the game, instead of settling for so many transition threes. But other than that, I mean, I wouldn't tell this team to shoot less threes than they shot tonight. And it's not just because they win. And I mean, those are all good looks for this team. And this is the style that they play, which when you watch it, it's fun. I mean, it's fun. No matter if you're a media member covering this team, if you're a UC fan watching this team and being pissed off at home, or if you're a fan in the arena or watching on TV, it is fun to watch. It is a fun style of basketball.
Well, Coach Dan Munson from Long Beach State certainly came to the Cintas Center tonight thinking, knowing really that I cannot stop Matt Stainbrook. I can't stop Jalen Reynolds. My best bet is to pack it in, is to zone this team, is to put a few different looks together. We saw them go to a jump press at times in the second half. We saw them try different alignments. We saw them drop doubles on Matt Stainbrook when he got the ball. They were definitely throwing a lot of junk defenses at the Musketeers. And as you said, Rick, I mean, what that produced, and I thought the ball distribution from Xavier was absolutely fantastic, particularly in the first half. And I'm trying to find the first half box score here. It was some ridiculous number. X shot 19 of 35 in the first half from the field. And I believe they had something along the lines of, yeah, 16 of the 19 field goals were assisted in the first half.
Yeah.
I thought that the ball distribution was absolutely outstanding. I thought D. Davis had a wonderful first half. Thought in the second half he got a little bit frustrated, especially especially defensively, because I thought Mike Caffey got the best of him a little bit on the other end of the floor in the second half. But in the first half, the ball distribution was just fantastic. And I think X scored on their first five possessions. They were moving the ball effectively. They got back-to-back threes to start the game from D and Trayvon. They worked the ball inside to Matt. They got an and one. I mean, it was just everything was real. They were hitting on all cylinders. But the problem that they had in the first half is that Long Beach team, I mean, I believe they hit 10 of their first 11 field goal attempts. They shot 71% in the first half and were down 13 at halftime, which has to be a first in the history of basketball. And really what it boiled down to, I thought, from X's perspective, is they forced turnovers and they capitalized on the turnovers. And while the defensive effort was probably not one that Chris Mack is going to be overly pleased with, you have to be somewhat impressed with the way that X was able to convert those turnovers into points in the first half and really press their advantage. Because Long Beach hit some ridiculous shots, particularly the fourth four-minute war of the first half. And it seemed like every time they did, X would come back at the other end with a three from J.P. McCura, an and-one from Trayvon Blewett, an and-one from Remy Abel. So the team really was able to very impressively build a lead against a team that seemingly couldn't miss.
Well, and that's the thing about this Long Beach State team and the way they played tonight. They didn't play poorly. They played really well, I thought. I mean, you look at the way Mike Caffey shot the ball, and even Tyler Lamb, their two stars we talked a lot about in the pregame, those guys play that way, and you pretty much expect Long Beach State to win. I mean, that's what they do. They shot for the game, they shot 54%, 6 of 16 from the outside. Like Chris Mack said, the defense wasn't actually terrible, and I was kind of interested because in the postgame, Mack didn't really mention the defense at all and didn't have much of a problem with the defense. In fact, he was pretty pleased with the fact that they forced Long Beach State to settle for a lot of jump shots. And it wasn't, you know, a lot of them. Now, there were some plays where Xavier completely blew coverages, and you saw some of the newer guys especially just not know or don't have the experience within the system to understand what they're supposed to do in a certain screen situation or certain set play, which I thought Long Beach State ran a lot of really good sets as well. And so their guys got their points, but again, they worked for them. And Xavier, the biggest thing to me is they had an answer every single time. I mean, you look in that first half, and even when they couldn't get stops, even when they had those big struggles, and I go back to like the second media timeout, just under 12 minutes, it was tied 17-17 or 19-19, I believe. And then right after that, you got a couple buckets from J.P. McCura immediately, and then Miles Davis went on his ridiculous run where he scored 12 of his 15 points all in like a six-minute period, maybe even less than that, to end the half.
And he was on tilt at that point,
right,
too.
And it was just complete confidence.
He stepped into about a 23-footer to cap that little mini run. And I mean, the guy he was getting to the basket. You know, one thing about Miles that you and I have talked about is the fact that it is underrated his ability to get to the goal and to finish. And you saw both that and his ability to stroke the three tonight.
Well, both of his finishes that weren't threes were and ones. He finished it off through contact and showed a lot of confidence attacking the basket. Can't say enough about the way Miles Davis gave this team a lift when they needed it most, too. I think that's important to point out that when this game was actually close, Miles came up and just let this team ride his back, basically, on the offensive end. But the thing is, in years past, we've seen that before, right? And especially early in the year against a team that you should beat. Maybe a Miles Davis got hot last year at the beginning of the year, or maybe it was Justin Martin for a game that had 18 or 20 points or whatever the case was. We've seen this before where an individual does it, but in this game, we saw multiple guys do it. It's Miles for a stretch, and then it's JP for a stretch, and then Trayvon's the best player for the whole entire game, and you didn't end up even needing Matt Stainbrook or Jalen Reynolds, who were supposed to be your biggest advantages in this game, to do a whole lot. And that, to me, that says so much about this team. Like, I never would have come into this game, looked at this box score, and said, oh, Tyler Lamb's going to have 17, Mike Caffey's going to have 20, and Xavier's big guys aren't really going to do a whole lot offensively, and they're going to win comfortably. I mean, roll and score 97 points. I just wouldn't have expected that if you would have told me. But again, it goes back to what we've been talking about. And I do, it is always, when we go into a season and we've got freshmen, especially a highly touted class like this, where I've really been pumping them a lot. I mean, I think there's no doubt about it. We've gone overboard on Trayvon Blewett in terms of me and Brian talking about Trayvon Blewett and what he's going to be capable of, more so than any recruit we've ever talked about and praised before they've played a college game. And that makes me nervous when we start talking about like that, because it's very easy for a guy to not get things or things to not go as planned as a freshman in college, and then fans get really down on a guy and everyone's like, well, you look like an idiot now, Rick, because this guy isn't good at all. He's not a four-star. He's a no-star. You feel kind of vindicated after watching these freshmen play a couple games, because they are impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Trayvon, 38 points in his first two college games. Tonight, it was a really complete game from him, too. He had 8 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive side, and it felt like he really committed himself to mixing it up on the offensive rebounding end. Xavier, in fact, for the game, 13 offensive rebounds, which is tremendous, really, in a game that was up and down, to get 13 offensive rebounds and to notch 19 second chance points is such a huge deal for a team. And X, you know, their percentages weren't as gaudy as they were in the Northern Arizona game, and they probably won't be that gaudy for the rest of the season. But they end up shooting well over 50% from the field. And then you add on to that the fact that they hit 13 3-point goals, and their effective field goal percentage is through the roof. It was a very impressive performance from the Musketeers, and one that should hearten fans of the team as we head into Friday, which is going to be a very, very difficult game. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Long Beach State a second. This is a team that scored 90 points in Provo, Utah earlier this week, losing a 95-90 decision to BYU. That's a very, very tough place to play.
Yeah, it is.
This is what the rest of their non-conference schedule looks like. Home to Kansas State, at UCLA, the Wooden Classic, where they're on the other side of the bracket, home to Nevada, Reno, at Stephen F. Austin, at San Diego State, at Texas, at St. John's, at Syracuse, at Louisville. I mean,
wow.
I was talking about this before the game. If you're Dan Monson, don't you... I mean, you either have to be a complete alcoholic or straight as an arrow, right? There's no in-between if you schedule like that year after year. Because he does this every year. And I mean, like, either you have to just be okay with... You have to be a really super positive person that doesn't need drugs and alcohol to bury your sorrows, or you have to just go rage after every single game, put the gun in your mouth, pull it back out one more time, and go back to practice the next day. Because I don't know how he coaches a team, and when he has his best teams, they'll go like 2-7 to start the season because of the non-conference schedule they play. That is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolutely monstrous set of games. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that team proceeds through the rest of their non-conference schedule. But they ought to be a front runner to win their league and to advance back to the NCAA tournament. So this could be a good win for Xavier down the road. And frankly, this is a team that wouldn't surprise me if Xavier saw next week in Fullerton, in the if they advance through their bracket in the wooden tradition.
Yeah, Rick, I think this is a game too that the coaches are really pleased with winning. Like I think they were a little concerned about this. I think they respect what Long Beach State has on their roster. They respect the scoring options they have in the backcourt, and they're pleased to be able to get this win, even if some people aren't happy with the defense. One other note I do want to hit on, Dan, is a lot of people asked about, or didn't ask, but we're talking about the pressure for at the end of the Northern Arizona game and how that affected Xavier and whether that would be an issue. I think it is worth noting 7 turnovers tonight in a game that was played at that tempo where they scored 97 points. I mean, scored or made 35 baskets. They only turned it over 7 times. That's I mean, that's really good. And like two or three of them were just sort of ridiculous freshman turnovers where like JP, I know one time just threw the ball randomly.
Trayvon
threw one in the, air mailed one in the second row. So I think that is huge. And again, the other thing was to see Long Beach State switch defenses on Xavier, mix it up and go to a zone after they struggled initially and find some success in it. And then to see Xavier counteract that and change some things up and be able to defeat another defense. And then they sort of switched it to a 2-3 when Xavier went to their baseline runner to defend against that. And Xavier found more ways to score. So that was a positive as well, too, Rick, I think, the way they were able to defeat multiple defenses.
Rick, what was your assessment real quickly of JP McCura, who provided a lot of offensive production off the bench?
Well, I think everyone's seeing that he is much more than just a standstill shooter. And the other thing about both him and Trayvon, obviously Trayvon is on a ridiculous level in terms of the confidence his teammates have in him. But one thing you're seeing about JP is when he is on the court, guys are looking to find him, and they are yelling, shoot, as soon as they pass the ball. That is one thing to watch about. I don't remember this ever happening before, but when they pass the ball to each other, these dudes are yelling, shoot, shoot that. Hit that. Like, every time they pass the ball, and it's to Trayvon, or it's to JP, or it's to Miles, or it's to D, every time, these guys have so much confidence in their teammates to make these shots. And I think that's, I mean, this shit, they're playing a different way on offense, and that's very clear to everyone. But yeah, JP is a huge part of that. And I think people are seeing that his handle and his athleticism bring a lot to the table. And not only, you know, not only from the perimeter, he can do a lot of different things on the offensive end.
In terms of this Friday's game against Stephen F. Austin, what's your take on this? I mean, I know that they lost a very close game today on the road at Northern Iowa. This is a battle-tested team, won 30 games last year, went to the NCAA tournament. They've got everybody back. Their coach is back. I mean, this is going to be a tough test for the Musketeers on Friday, isn't it?
Well, they're super experienced, one. And then two, it's a difficult style to play against because they play five out, open post. All their guys can shoot. All of them are skilled. They lost today at home, and it broke, I think it was the second longest home winning streak in the country next to Duke. They lost Northern Iowa. But it did not make me feel any better about Xavier's chances against them. Both of those teams looked very, very good, and both of them looked like they're gonna be teams that make noise in the tournament. So yeah, I think that's going to be a very difficult game for Xavier this early in the season. But at the same time, the way they're playing on offense and the chemistry, it's almost like in years past, despite the fact that they've had more veteran guys and they've been playing together longer, it's taken longer for the team to figure out roles for everyone and find what they should be doing because the pieces didn't necessarily fit together well. This year, it seems like the roles are just falling into place because the pieces all fit together well. I mean, even Jalen Reynolds, like, you don't necessarily get a good performance out of him tonight, and he's a complete non-factor in the first half. But then in the second half, when you're trying to close down a win and you're struggling to get rebounds, and Long Beach State was actually beating Xavier on the glass for most of the game, Jalen comes in and grabs, six rebounds in 10 minutes. I mean, he was the best player on the court in the second half in the lane and just completely dominated and took over.
Yeah, he had a nice flush and then also a finish at the end of the game where he ran over one of the Long Beach State players. And I thought that his physical presence definitely made a difference. Rick, the handling of Matt Stainbrook in these first two games, it seems like X is really making an effort to pick his spots. Do you think is he on a pitch count? I mean, are they trying to limit his reps? Are they trying to limit his minutes? Or is it just one of those things where they don't need him to play 30 minutes a game?
Well, I think that's it, Dan. That's the biggest thing is, one, you need Matt Stainbrook healthy at the end of the year. And we saw what happened last year, and not that that was fatigue or overuse, but you never know. I mean, you'd much rather have him be fresh and ready to go when we get to the postseason. But the one thing that I was kind of thinking, the same thing you were saying, is that, man, it doesn't seem like Matt's playing a lot. He still ended up playing 26 minutes in this game. And this is a game, obviously, where they felt they didn't need him for long stretches when they went small and went to the four guard. I think that's the other thing. In both these early games, playing against smaller teams, they've gone to the four guard lineup, especially this game where Trayvon plays the four. And then you've got James, Jalen, and Matt to rotate in at the five. And, I mean, you got to find minutes for James and Jalen. Those guys are good. Right. And then when you throw in Sean, too, they're just – you don't – you hit it on the nail on the head. I'm doing this in a long version. But, yeah, you just don't need 30 minutes out of Matt Stainbrook, especially right now at this point in the season. It's great to let those other guys get more experience, gain more chemistry. You know what you're going to get out of Matt when it matters.
Well, that'll wrap it up from us tonight, Tuesday, the 18th of November, after Xavier's 97-74 win over Long Beach State. The Musketeers go to 2-0. They're next in action on Friday night against Stephen F. Austin. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off at Cintas Center. Should be a good one. They'll then turn around, quick turnaround, and play Murray State, also at Cintas, on Monday night.